The 7052nd meeting of the Security Council is resumed. In accordance with Rule 37 of the Council's Provisional Rules of Procedure, I invite the representative of the Sudan to participate in this meeting. It is so decided. I wish to remind all speakers to limit their statements to no more than 4 minutes in order to enable the Council to carry out its work expeditiously. Delegations with lengthy statements are kindly requested to circulate the text in writing and to deliver a condensed version when speaking in the chamber. I now give the floor to the representative of Ukraine.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would like to thank you for holding this important meeting and to congratulate you with the successful Security Council presidency of Azerbaijan. Ukraine considers effectiveness and efficiency of the Council, coupled with its openness and transparency, as the pillars of the overall activity of this body. Therefore, we broadly share the priorities for today's debate, stemming from the concept paper, namely, strengthening Council's transparency, enhancing its interaction with non-Council members, other UN bodies, and regional and sub-regional organizations, ensuring more informative and analytical annual reporting to the General Assembly. We welcome Council's continuous efforts aimed at streamlining and improving its own procedure, as showcased by the 2010 presidential note under discussion today. Among such positive steps during 2013, I would like to point out increasing number of public meetings, active revisiting of the practice of wrap-up sessions and monthly informal briefings at the end of presidencies, resorting more often to the use of video and teleconferencing services. There are still a number of significant issues to be addressed, among which is Institute of Veto in the Security Council. Ukraine supports the necessity of creating conditions leading to the gradual reduction of the use of veto. In this regard, we took note with interest of the relevant proposal by France. In our view, such an initiative, along with other positive developments in the domain of working methods, demonstrates a potential for ambitious changes originating inside the Council in line with the Article 30 of the UN Charter. Mr. President, fully cognizant that the Council is the master of its own procedure, Ukraine believes that this body can benefit by taking on board, as it deems necessary, innovative ideas of the wider UN membership as envisaged by Article 10 of the UN Charter. The same relates to the accommodation of legitimate concerns of non-Council members. Let me recall the long-standing position of Ukraine as to the necessity to give a stronger voice in the Council decision-making process to those UN member states directly involved in implementation of its decisions. First and foremost, it should apply to the troop and police contributing countries. From our experience of active participation in US peacekeeping, we see the continuous need to adjust the timing of Council decisions on extensions of mandates of peace operation so as not to put relevant TCCs and PCCs in difficult position. Taking such decisions whenever feasible, well in advance of the target date, would provide TCCs and PCCs with more time to bring the new or extended Council's mandates in line with their national legislation. It concerns especially those countries who, like Ukraine, by law require Parliament's approval of deployment of their peacekeeping contingents. Ukraine welcomes the emphasis of the presidency of Azerbaijan on strengthening partnership synergy between the Council and regional and sub-regional organizations, as evidenced by yesterday's high-level briefing by Organization of Islamic Cooperation. Mr. President, commitment to the strong, effective, efficient, and transparent Security Council was the cornerstone of Ukraine's only tenure in this body as an independent state in 2000-2001. It is in keeping with and building on this tradition that we intend to serve in the Council in case of Ukraine's election as its non-permanent member for the term 2016-2017. I thank you.
I thank the representative of Ukraine for his statement. I now give the floor to the representative of Liechtenstein.
Thank you, Mr. President. Liechtenstein is a member of the ACT Group and aligns itself with the statement delivered by Switzerland. We would now like to raise a few specific points relating to the Council's work on accountability and the veto from a working methods perspective. Mr. President, during last year, the Council has made some progress in improving its interaction with the International Criminal Court and on related issues. Last October's open debate on peace and justice was a good opportunity for the wider membership to express its views on the Council's relations to this key institution of international criminal justice. The informal interactive dialogue between the Council and the ICC prosecutor is also a useful format, allowing for a more fluid exchange of information and a less limited conversation. While we welcome these events and we thank the delegations that have initiated them, we are disappointed about the lack of follow-up. As often seems to be the case in the workings of the Council, positive innovations are difficult to institutionalize. The Council began this year well by expressing its commitment to effectively follow up to issues of cooperation with international tribunals, including the ICC. Unfortunately, though, the Council has not lived up to this promise so far. The Council still lacks a proper forum for interaction with the ICC and on related issues. 1 year ago, together with Costa Rica and Jordan, we had encouraged the creation of a new subsidiary body or the retasking of the informal working group on tribunals. Since then, the need for such a platform has only become more pressing as requests to the Council relating to ICC issues are in the headlines on a daily basis. Partially due to this shortcoming, the Council has also again failed to take up the Court's decisions of non-cooperation in the Darfur situation. Failure by the Council to effectively follow up to its own referrals undermines the credibility of both bodies. We have seen the recent request by Kenya that the Security Council defer the cases in the Kenya situation for 12 months, pursuant to Article 12 of the Rome Statute, an issue that will be taken up by the Council shortly. This should remind us of the need to revisit the Council's working methods in dealing with such requests. The Council's decision-making process on Article 16 deferrals should be informed and made on the basis of a thorough discussion involving all stakeholders. The implementation of Article 16 of the Rome Statute is as much a concern of all states' parties to the statute as it is of the members of the Council. We therefore encourage the Security Council to enter into a dialogue with states' parties, especially on the question of criteria to be considered in deciding whether to defer cases before the ICC. Mr. President, the situation in Syria, now in its third year, has laid bare this Council's shortcomings. The Council has been unable to play its role on nearly all issues save for that of chemical weapons. And while we appreciate the efforts of Luxembourg and Australia in drafting the recent PRST on the humanitarian situation in Syria, we regret that the Council was not able to adopt a resolution on this topic. The Council has also failed in its responsibility to promote accountability for the war crimes and crimes against humanity that have been and continue to be perpetrated by all sides of this conflict. Liechtenstein was one of 58 states that had called on the Security Council to refer the situation in Syria to the ICC. 9 months later, we are still waiting for the Council to take this issue up. Mr. President, the Syria crisis also best illustrates that the use of the veto and the extensive threat of its use continues to stymie its work. The veto as such is part and parcel of the Charter of the United Nations, which we have all ratified. But it is essential that it not be used contrary to the very purposes and principles contained in that charter, and that a minimum of accountability be provided in this respect. We have repeatedly called on the permanent members to commit to refraining from the use of the veto in situations involving genocide, crimes against humanity, and war crimes. We welcome the initiative by France to bring this topic to the attention of the international community. Now is the time to make concrete progress towards such a code of conduct. We look forward to discussions among the permanent members on this suggestion and will continue to work through the ACT group to contribute to its success. I thank you, Mr. President.
I thank the representative of Liechtenstein for his statement. I now give the floor to the representative of Chile.
Señor Presidente.
President, as with many member states of this organization, Chile follows the Matters of Security Council working methods with particular interest, convinced as we are that its transparency and inclusivity will contribute to strengthening capacity and legitimacy of this main body, and as a result of the organization. This interest has led to our participation in the ACT group, whose statement made earlier by the representative of Switzerland we echo. We appreciate Azerbaijan having organized this open debate, which is the fourth consecutive annual debate on this topic. Certainly, this will contribute to consolidating a practice that we trust will continue on into the future. President, transparency and inclusivity in the work of the Council are the objectives that should guide our view of working methods. We value the adoption of the presidential note S/2013/515 under the presidency of Argentina and the commitments brought together in that statement, in that note rather, to utilizing and strengthening the tools and mechanisms to bring about transparency and a better coordination with other organs of this body, or rather of the organization. The practice of holding the greatest amount of open and public sessions, informal dialogues, and interactive dialogues and ARIA formula meetings contributes to the legitimacy of the work of the Council and to the quality of the Council, as the Council can benefit from hearing the diversity of positions and visions of the UN member countries. We believe that there is still room to better take advantage of the visions expressed in these bodies, for example, through a programming of work that allows for the Council to find out of these positions before proceeding to undertake negotiations and adopt documents on the matters being addressed. We underscore the complementary nature of the work of the regional and sub-regional organizations with which the UN works, and in particular as they work with this Council. We underscore the high-level open debate on this topic held on 6 August last. This included, in addition to the participation of high-ranking authorities from our region, statements from CELAC and UNASUR. The Council should continue to deepen consultations and cooperation with regional and sub-regional organizations relevant to these matters, pursuant to the distribution of functions set forth in Chapter 8 of the Charter. The Note S/2013/515 also addresses the matter of coordination with other bodies of the UN, including in the area of peace building. This matter is of particular relevancy because of the need to strengthen the coherency and avoid redundancy between different bodies. Strengthening the joint work with the Peacebuilding Commission, including the participation of its president and the chairs of the different configurations, where appropriate, in the Council sessions, is an important step forward. We believe that the Working Group on Peacekeeping Operations could broaden its scope to also address peacebuilding, establishing thus links to relevant stakeholders in this area. The consideration of specific peace-building situations would happen only when the working group believes it necessary. This measure would allow for the establishment of a working relationship between the bodies that address these two closely linked topics. This would bring the progress that is required during our review of the Peace-Building Commission to establish a more fluid and informal dialogue with the Security Council. Further, it would allow for a strengthening of interaction with the ad hoc groups of ECOSOC that are relevant to the work of the Council. One crucial element for bringing about inclusivity and transparency is the availability and easy access to Council documentation. We recognize the progress made in this area through the content made available in the Council's webpage. This includes background information on the monthly program of work and the repertoire of practice, and we value the efforts of the Secretariat. President, we believe that the Security Council should continue to use all the means available to it to gather information related to the implementation of its resolutions. In the briefings in the commissions and bodies of inquiry created by the United Nations to look into situations on the agenda, we urge the Council to explore mechanisms that allow for a strengthening of interactivity, giving priority to the opportunity to gather greater background information on matters being addressed. Lastly, President, I should like to recall the statement made by the President of Chile in the recent general debate of the General Assembly, in which he joined the calls for those countries that have a veto to abstain from using them in situations that are marked by crimes against humanity, war crimes, genocide, and ethnic cleansing. Likewise, the President of Chile proposed leaving behind the logic of vetoes, replacing this logic with one of special quorums, so that the most relevant and important decisions that inevitably affect us all will be adopted with resounding broad and representative majorities of the Committee of Nations. I thank you.
I thank the representative of Chile for his statement. I now give the floor to the representative of Bosnia and Herzegovina.
Thank you, Mr. President. At the outset, I would like to thank you for convening open debate on the important issue of working methods of the Security Council. This is the fourth open debate organized with the aim to further discuss the implementation of the Presidential Note S/2010/507, as well as to address the issue of common concern and benefit regarding the improvement of working methods of the Security Council. I would like to use this opportunity to thank Her Excellency Ambassador Maria Cristina Paisafal for her briefing today and her able stewardship as the chair of the informal working group on documentation and other procedural questions. Mr. President, as the former chair of the informal working group on documentation and other procedural questions of the Security Council, Bosnia and Herzegovina has built upon the efforts of previous chairs to further promote the transparency and efficiency of the Security Council's work, including the implementation of Presidential Note 507. As a chair, we have particularly promoted and raised the issue of periodicity of reporting and mandate cycles in order to create or better to redistribute more evenly and efficiently the Council annual workload. The subsequent chair of the informal working group have continued these efforts, and that this redistribution launched in December 2011 has continued throughout 2012 and 2013, since the full cycle of redistribution needs 18 months to implement. Taking into account the calls for enhanced cooperation by the general membership, Bosnia and Herzegovina has raised the issue of further increasing the transparency of the Council's work and has suggested to the members of the informal working group to consider the idea of holding regular briefings on Security Council working methods for non-Council member states. We were and are of the view that such exercise can be of common benefit. Therefore, we commend the end of presidency wrap-up sessions and invite the Council members to further intensify informal forms of dialogue with non-members, particularly in a form of area formal meetings. We call upon the Council members to fulfill their commitments stated in the presidential note S-2013-515, such as to maintain regular communication with Peace Building Commission and the chairs of the country-specific configurations, enhance cooperation with regional and sub-regional organizations, encourage the subsidiary bodies to enhance the transparency of their activities. We encourage further improvement with regard to briefings and consultations by the Council with troop and police contributing countries as to implement peacekeeping mandates more effectively. Mr. President, mindful of the Council's responsibility in maintaining international peace and security, Bosnia and Herzegovina, having had the experience of the membership in the Security Council 2010-2011, recognizes that for sake of the efficiency at a certain early sensitive stage of resolving an issue, there is a need for closed consultations among Security Council members before sharing the views and information with the general membership of the United Nations. However, we have to express our concern with regard to a recent setback in transparency of the Council's work and even within the Council itself. Bosnia and Herzegovina has always been an advocate of Council's efficiency and accountability as well as of the transparency. Mr. President, in closing, please allow me to reiterate the position of Bosnia and Herzegovina that the improvement of the working methods of the Security Council should not be seen as an inherent part of the overall reform of the Council, namely the increase of the permanent and non-permanent seats. Working methods must improve notwithstanding the Security Council's reform process. We remain committed to continue our engagement together with the members of the Security Council and the non-members. Our general membership initiatives and dialogue in view of improving efficiency, transparency, and interactivity of the work of the Security Council for the common benefit. I thank you, Mr. President.
I thank the representative of Bosnia and Herzegovina for her statement. I now give the floor to the representative of Uruguay.
Gracias, señor.
Thank you, President. I should like to commend the permanent mission of Azerbaijan for having convened this open debate. Uruguay adheres to the intervention made by the delegation of Switzerland on behalf of the ACT group. And as a member of this group, I would like to raise a few specific points on working methods related to peacekeeping that are shared by the members of ACT. As critical and cost-effective as peacekeeping operations are in maintaining international peace and security and in helping countries to make the transition from conflict to sustainable peace, these peacekeeping operations rely on a unique partnership between the Security Council, the Secretariat, and the broader UN membership, in particular the TCCs and the PCCs. In order to be effective, this relationship needs to be very well maintained. Triangular cooperation between the Council, the Secretariat, and TCCs and PCCs is crucial. And enhancing the quality of this interaction, making it consistently dynamic and substantial, remains a challenge. The current context of more complex and robust mandates, increasingly risky situations, limited resources, and high expectations raise the stakes of UN peacekeeping operations and make working methods, including meaningful engagement with the TCCs and PCCs, even more important. Mr. President, after a preliminary analysis on this matter, one of the first conclusions to which ACT members have arrived is that the problem is not the lack of tools or agreed arrangements, but rather that these may not be exercised regularly or consistently. The UN Charter, Security Council resolutions, and in particular Resolution 1353 of 2001, and different PRSTs establish or make reference to many of these mechanisms, including provisions on early consultation with TCCs to be held before mandate creation and renewal, ad hoc meetings at any stage of at the request of TCCs, information sharing, and thematic discussions. However, there is plenty of room for improvement in their utilization. Certainly, the Security Council Working Group on Peacekeeping Operations is one of the key tools available to improve the interaction between those who establish the mandates and those who implement them, as well as for the strengthening of triangular cooperation. In this regard, ACT members congratulate the Permanent Mission of Pakistan, the chair of this working group, for convening, in the last few months, three thematic discussions open to the TCCs and PCCs related to very sensitive and critical topics such as safety and security, the use of modern technology, and transition and drawdowns of peacekeeping operations. The ACT group encourages the continued development and utilization of this important tool, addressing relevant thematic issues as well as missions-specific meetings open to TCCs and PCCs. The timing and the format of consultations with TCCs are other important aspects in which ACT members believe that improvements have been made but that future gains have to be achieved. For instance, by increasing regularity and predictability in the convening of early consultations with TCCs before mandates creation or renewal. Also, the possibility of calling ad hoc meetings at any stage at the request of a TCC or PCC to address topical concerns should be a reality, especially in those cases where the safety and security of the peacekeepers is at stake. Additionally, all the actors involved should work towards a more meaningful and interactive consultation process. Working methods play an important role in this regard. The timing and the openness of information sharing, including access to SG reports in a timely manner, is a key ingredient when it comes to bringing about adequate preparation for these consultations. More informal settings in which relevant stakeholders can exchange their views on a particular mission can also contribute greatly to a better understanding of the main concerns at stake and finding solutions. Opportunities to listen directly to the field perspective remain a very helpful and valuable tool that should be used as often as possible. Mr. President, these are a few examples of how working methods can continue to improve the quality of the discussions and, in some cases, their outcomes related to peacekeeping that take place under the framework of the Security Council. In this regard, ACT members welcome the latest note by the President of the Security Council, S/2013/630, on enhancement of consultations with TCCs and PCCs, which goes very much in line with the ideas and objectives that ACT promotes. ACT members will continue to remain available and willing to engage in a constructive dialogue on this topic. I thank you very much, Mr. President.
I thank the representative of Uruguay for his statement. I now give the floor to the representative of Costa Rica.
Muchas gracias, señor.
Thank you very much, President. Costa Rica expresses its appreciation to Azerbaijan for having organized this debate. My delegation adheres to this, to Switzerland's statement made on behalf of the 22 members of the ACT group. We also wish to make the following reflections in our national capacity. Mr. President, the premise established in Article 24 of the Charter, according to which member states acknowledge that the Security Council acts on the members' behalf, should work as a two-way street. Member states must recognize that the Council acts on our behalf. But at the same time, the Council must also demonstrate that it acts on our behalf. This responsibility is particularly important to its five permanent members. We live in an age in which the transparency of decision-making processes and the accountability of the representatives to the represented have been established as ever more solid principles in our organizations, independent of their nature. Note 507 and its update in 2010, and Note 2015 from August of this year, mark an important milestone in the history of the Security Council, in particular as regards transparency. Today, this is an opportune moment to recognize the work of Argentina as chair of the Informal Working Group on Documentation and Other Procedural Questions, and likewise to welcome Note 630, adopted yesterday. President, Note 507 encompassed many of the concerns expressed by the membership of this organization and resolved several of them, at least conceptually. Important progress has been made in transparency and accountability after its adoption. Nevertheless, the examination of the Council's practices reveals that the challenge of consistently implementing adopted agreements remains. Costa Rica believes, for example, that the Council should take an even greater interest in the input that can be provided by those who have a legitimate concern or who would be directly affected by the Council's decisions. Despite agreements achieved in this direction, significant shortcomings continue to be revealed in practice. In addition, more transparent and direct and clear communication should take place between the Council, its components, and the rest of the organization. Another subject that deserves greater attention is the public aspect of the Council's actions. Although it is true that there has been progress in the number of public meetings in comparison to other years, we are far from the spirit of the norm, which establishes that every meeting of the Council is public, unless expressly decided otherwise. We recognize that there are situations that demand the utmost discretion. However, we disagree with the practice that has, in fact, inverted the language of the norm. It is the Secretariat's duty to facilitate the application of this existing rule, which favors transparency and accountability, by presenting open formats for all meetings as a first option in the proposed programs prepared by each Council presidency. It is, then, up to the members of the Council to convince others of the need for a private format, when necessary, as an exception to the rule. By making these considerations, I am pleased to say that Costa Rica and Estonia are leading a subgroup in the ACT framework to promote transparency within the Security Council. Allow me to highlight the following timely recommendations. First, commissioning the informal working group on documentation with the adoption of an action plan to implement Presidential Note 507. Two, continuing to improve the transparency in the preparation of the annual report by engaging in an informal, interactive discussion both at the time of its drafting and when it is being considered by the General Assembly. Third, briefing by UN officials to the Security Council, as far as is possible, should be made accessible to all members, while consultations afterwards may be held in a private setting. Four, Further, Costa Rica wishes to point out that in the field of SPMs, meaningful transparency should not and cannot be limited to exchanges between the Secretariat and the membership. Transparency on SPMs should include the obvious third player. The Security Council, whose importance shows in the simple fact that it is the Council who decides the overwhelming majority of mandates of SPMs, that is to say, these special political measures. We encourage the Security Council to continue improving the information of member states on these special political missions. I close by affirming, Mr. President, that the application of Note 507 requires the continual commitment of all members of the Council and the active participation of the General Assembly. Costa Rica congratulates you once again for having convened this important session, which represents a significant step in the right direction. Thank you very much.
I thank the representative of Costa Rica for his statement. I now give the floor to the representative of New Zealand.
Thank you, Mr. President. New Zealand will deliver a shortened version of the circulated statement, if you don't mind. We thank Azerbaijan for convening this important debate. We congratulate Ambassador Percival on her chairmanship of the informal working group, and we note, Mr. President, that this debate has become an annual fixture in this Council's program. Having said that, we think that once a year is not enough, that working methods are too important to be relegated to an annual discussion. In the past 12 months, we've seen occasions when better working methods might have improved the quality and effectiveness of outcomes. The Council's engagement with TCCs while establishing the Force Intervention Brigade in MONUSCO could have been much better. Its slow reaction to unfolding political, security, and humanitarian crises in Mali and in the Central African Republic are further examples. But we are pleased, Mr. President, to observe some minor but positive changes. Note S2013515 will be a useful aid to transparency. Wrap-up sessions are now convened with greater frequency following Pakistan's lead in January. Last week's briefings, direct from Addis Ababa and Entebbe, were an obvious improvement on the use of technology. But much more must be done to enable the Council more effectively to perform its most neglected charter responsibilities, those under Chapter 6 concerning conflict prevention and peaceful settlement of disputes. As New Zealand stressed in this debate last year, Mr. President, preventive measures are less costly in terms of resources and lives than peacekeeping or peace enforcement, and are more likely to deliver lasting outcomes, addressing the root causes of conflict. The Council's attempts over the past year at the better fulfilment of its preventive function by resurrecting horizon scanning was an important recognition of a problem that must be addressed. We do recognise, however, Mr. President, that some states do have concerns about that format. We have a very open mind on the name, the format, and the modalities, which for us are much less important than the underlying purpose of enabling the Council to look ahead and assess emerging threats to international peace and security, thus facilitating early and effective responses in supporting or leading mediation and conflict prevention measures. The case of Syria graphically underlines what happens when there's insufficient attention to emerging situations at early stages. New Zealand also emphasises that it's not just the Security Council itself which has responsibility for better using the available tools to facilitate effective preventive action by this Council. Article 99 of the Charter allows the Secretary-General to bring emerging threats to the Council's attention, a power that should be used more often. Mr. Chairman, the Council's monthly program of work might be a useful aid to transparency, as was just emphasised by Costa Rica. But it must not become a procedural fetter on the ability of the Secretary-General or Council members to discharge their charter responsibilities to prevent conflict. discussions on emerging crises are often going to be very sensitive and are therefore not always best suited to formal council meetings. And that reality could also be better reflected in the council's working methods. In that same context, it's necessary to find better ways to engage with the states concerned. New Zealand also sees potential for a greater role for council subsidiary bodies, particularly the Ad Hoc Working Group on Conflict Prevention and Resolution in Africa, to help facilitate more active council roles in conflict prevention. This could involve a greater focus on the working group, by the working group, on sub-regional or country-specific challenges, or acting as a mechanism for more meaningful interaction on conflict analysis and preventive initiatives between the council and regional and sub-regional organisations. Similarly, Mr. President, advances in working methods are needed to address wide concerns held outside this council about its working partnership with regional and sub-regional organisations. They have an inherent advantage in identifying emerging threats. They are better placed for early threat identification. They often know the players, and they have a greater stake, Mr. President, in preventing conflict. The Council would be much better placed to respond to such threats if it has improved processes for engagement with regional organisations, and we strongly urge that. Mr. President, much of what we achieve at the UN relies on momentum. So we encourage Council members to take to heart the many messages from today's debate. The range of issues raised by member states indicates our widespread interest and concern about working methods. We know that that engagement takes time. We know that it takes energy. But given the challenges and the expectations of today's world, real and substantial change is needed in the way in which this council functions, if it's to deliver on its responsibilities, and that's what New Zealand urges today.
I thank the representative of New Zealand for his statement. I now give the floor to the representative of Belgium.
Merci, Monsieur le Président.
Thank you, Mr. President. President, it's my honour to address the Security Council on behalf of the Kingdom of the Netherlands and the Kingdom of Belgium. Firstly, I'd like to convey my gratitude to Azerbaijan as President of the Security Council for having convened this debate and for having prepared an excellent concept note. The Netherlands and Belgium attach great importance to this open debate. It provides the wider UN membership with an opportunity to interact with the Security Council members on a topic that is not just an internal procedural matter, but an issue which has a profound impact on the way we try to make this universal organization work. Let's start by acknowledging that real progress has been made over the past few years. The Netherlands and Belgium would like to commend both the permanent and the successive elected members of the Council. The commitments put forward in the note of the President of the Security Council last August are worthy of praise and warrant expedient implementation. Despite this, further progress on the improvement of the working methods of the Security Council is desirable. It would help to enhance the Security Council's accountability vis-à-vis the wider membership and to increase further the transparency, the legitimacy, and the effectiveness of its decisions. Mr. President, the concept note prepared for this meeting contains an overview of recent work and events on the working methods of the Security Council. It lists a number of good suggestions which the Netherlands and Belgium would happily support a majority of. We would like to draw your attention to certain specific ideas, however. Firstly, we appreciate the fact that the chairs of the country-specific configurations of the Peacebuilding Commission are invited to brief the Council when their country is being discussed. However, we strongly believe that the Council's work would benefit from allowing the PBC chairs to participate in the much more interactive closed consultations that usually follow the public briefings. Secondly, we welcome the monthly wrap-up sessions, but believe that these could be more interactive and thus create a opportunity for evaluation through a more analytical approach. Thirdly, we commend the United Kingdom and Australia for having organized a horizon-scanning debate at the start of their presidencies. The Netherlands and Belgium would favor building on this precedent to establish horizon-scanning meetings as an integral part of the larger effort of preventive diplomacy. For this reason, we encourage other members of the Council to also organize horizon-scanning meetings on a regular basis. Fourthly, cooperation between the United Nations and relevant regional organizations in the area of peace and security has greatly improved and has become more diversified. And this is something which we commend the Council for. Regional organizations should be heard on an even more regular basis in the Council, not only on thematic issues, but also on country situations in which they are involved. Furthermore, relations between the Council and legal institutions, such as the International Court of Justice and the Permanent Court of Arbitration, could be intensified, given their role played in conflict prevention and conflict resolution. And lastly, the Netherlands and Belgium would appreciate earlier notification of certain options taken into consideration by the Council in cases where said options have possible budgetary implications which would affect the wider membership. Here we're thinking to the cost of peacekeeping missions in particular. Mr. President, as I said earlier, the Netherlands and Belgium appreciate the efforts which have been made so far to improve the working methods of the Security Council. The ideas proposed in your concept note are worthy of careful consideration. We count on the Security Council members, and in particular the permanent members, to pool their efforts with those of the wider membership to continue to enhance the transparency, legitimacy, effectiveness, and the interactivity of the Security Council. I thank you.
I thank the representative of Belgium for her statement. I now give the floor to the representative of Turkey.
Mr. President, I'd like to thank the Azerbaijani presidency for organizing this open debate on a subject that is of particular importance for the entire membership of the United Nations and for preparing and circulating the concept paper on the implementation of Note 507. This debate has been very timely in terms of readdressing the issues on the working methods of the Security Council, as we are fast approaching again a time of change in the membership of the Council. I would also like to express our appreciation to Ambassador Parseval for her work and efforts in her capacity as the chair of the informal working group. Mr. President, Turkey attaches great importance to the efforts to improve the Council's working methods, which is an important component of the comprehensive reform of the Council. We have long advocated that the Council is in need of a change in terms of its structure and representation, as well as its working methods. The world is constantly changing, and a number of developments unfold before our eyes with each passing day. That is why it is our sincere wish that the Council adapts itself to the current realities of the global political, security, and economic scene, as it is our common responsibility to maintain the credibility of this body. We should spare no effort to enhance its efficiency and transparency and work sincerely to ensure that its work is inclusive and effective. In that sense, Turkey welcomes the steps taken in recent years, particularly through the milestone presidential note S/2010/507 and the subsequent complementary notes. On the other hand, Mr. President, there is still much to be done in terms of the implementation of the measures set out in those notes. First and foremost, Turkey believes that the Council's dialogue with the non-Council members should be further improved. The entire membership expects more effective and frequent use of public meetings, informal interactive dialogues, and ARIA formula meetings. This will enable a better communication and interaction and provide more opportunity to the wider membership in order to have more focused involvement in the issues of common concern. As regards the enhancing the transparency of the Council, we welcome the recently increased use of wrap-up sessions and encourage all members of the Council to hold such meetings at the end of their presidencies. At the same time, we are cognizant of the need for the Council's own deliberations for decision-making. Second, we need a better structured dialogue and communication between the Council and other UN bodies and regional organizations. Regular and more substantive exchange of views among the Council, the General Assembly, the Economic and Social Council, as well as the Peacebuilding Commission, would not only enhance the efficiency of the UN system, but also augment the transparency, openness, and inclusiveness of the Council itself. We also think that the Council should expand its consultation and cooperation with other international and relevant regional organizations, such as the Peace and Security Council of the African Union, the Organization of Islamic Cooperation, and the League of Arab States. Third, we are of the view that the Council should make better use of measures under Chapter 6 of the UN Charter, without any prejudice to its right to mandating measures under Chapter 7, the Council, as the primary responsible organ of the UN in the maintenance of international peace and security, should give some thought to utilizing different ways of pacific settlement of disputes. In that sense, we welcome the horizon scanning briefings provided by the Secretariat. We believe that those briefings are important in terms of conflict prevention and wish to see that those meetings in all upcoming programs of the work of the Council. Finally, I'd like to touch upon an aspect related to the Council's internal practice, which is again of particular importance. While taking note of the Presidential Note S/2012/937, Turkey believes that the Council should act in due transparency and inclusivity in the appointment of the chairpersons of the subsidiary organs and the selection of the penholders. Mr. President, while fully acknowledging the positive developments related to the working methods of the Security Council, we believe that there is always room for further improvement. In the end, all esteemed members of the UN deserve a more democratic, more transparent, and more efficient Security Council, which we believe is also a requirement for maintaining the credibility of our organization, the United Nations. I thank you, Mr. President.
I thank the representative of Turkey for his statement. I now give the floor to the representative of Austria.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. I would like first to thank the Azerbaijani presidency for convening today's open debate. Austria aligns itself with the statement made earlier by Switzerland on behalf of the ACT group for the enhancement of the accountability, coherence, and transparency of the Security Council, issues that are extremely important to my delegation. As a member of the ACT group, Austria will now limit its intervention to two specific points. First, we believe that efforts to improve the working methods of the Council must also focus on strengthening the interaction between the Council and the UN membership at large. This applies particularly to UN peacekeeping missions, the UN's flagship activity. Resolution 1353 from 2001 and last week's presidential note on the enhancement of consultations with troop and police contributing countries provide, among other Council documents, a very good basis for an intensified engagement of the Council with TCCs and PCCs. We call on the Security Council to make more frequent and effective use of those already existing tools. It is the contributing countries who have their boots on the ground and who must implement the mandates of the missions. as practically all UN peacekeeping operations have become more challenging and multifaceted, the need for dialogue and information sharing has increased. TCCs and PCCs should be consulted both by the Secretariat, but also by the Council, not only on a regular, but particularly ad hoc and on short time notice. In light of sometimes rapidly evolving developments, the respective areas of operation have to be kept also in consideration. Mr. President, let me address a second point, which has been very dear to my delegation since many years, the rule of law. 13 months ago, UN members at the high-level meeting on the rule of law recognized the positive contribution of the Security Council to the rule of law while discharging its primary responsibility for the maintenance of international peace and security. At the same occasion, the General Assembly encouraged the Security Council first to ensure that sanctions imposed by the Council are carefully targeted, and second, to further develop fair and clear procedures. This reflects a conviction that the implementation of sanctions must respect the rule of law. Austria strongly believes that the UN must practice what it preaches. The rule of law must apply not only outside of the UN, but also within the UN. In particular, in situations in which actions by the UN and its organs directly affect individual rights. The UN in general and the Security Council in particular should lead the way in this regard. As former chair of the Al-Qaeda Taliban Sanctions Committee, during its term as a non-permanent member of the Council in 2009 and 2010, Austria worked hard to improve the procedures under the 1267 sanctions regime in terms of due process. Security Council Resolution 1904 of December 17, 2009, which established the Office of the Ombudsperson, was a significant step forward in improving the fairness and transparency of the Al-Qaeda sanctions regime and enhanced the rule of law in the implementation of the Council decisions. We therefore reiterate our call to the Security Council to continue on that path and extend the mandate of the Ombudsperson, which has been further improved in the meantime, also to other sanctions regimes. Mr. President, in concluding, I would like to emphasize that the Council's working methods have remarkably developed over the years. Yet, there will remain work in progress, as the work of the Security Council constantly has to adapt to new challenges and changed circumstances, so should the Council's working methods. Engagement with TCCs and respect for the rule of law are thereby key to make the Council's work more effective and legitimate. Thank you very much.
I thank the representative of Austria for his statement. I now give the floor to the representative of Spain.
Thank you very much, President. We thank you very much for convening this open debate on working methods of the Security Council. As contained in your concept note, which correctly provides for the development of this debate, this is a matter of general and common interest. The Security Council is a body of crucial importance for the maintenance of international peace and security, and it is in everybody's interest that the Security Council efficiently exercises the functions assigned to it by the UN Charter. We welcome the fact that the members of the Security Council are aware of this, as reflected in the President's note dated 28 August 2013. There is no doubt that the authority and influence of the Security Council will be increased if the views of the wider UN membership are taken into account when shaping its working methods. Spain believes that this objective must be the guideline, the guiding line of the Security Council's activities. In recent years, progress has been made in increasing the Security Council's permeability. The contributions of countries such as Portugal, Belgium, Japan, Slovakia, Panama, Bosnia and Herzegovina, or India have been of great help. Also worthy of particular attention are Costa Rica, Jordan, and Liechtenstein for the role they have played in encouraging this collective vision. I should not like to miss the opportunity to also commend the delegation of Argentina and Ambassador Percival. I should like to commend you for the way in which you have been leading the working group on procedures and working methods. President, the members of the Security Council have committed themselves to implementing the measures contained in Note 2010/507. As we have stated in previous occasions, we are reasonably pleased with the ongoing implementation of measures such as the monthly program of work on the Security Council, the publication of the tentative forecast and its regular updates, or the briefing by the incoming presidencies. We are fully aware that sometimes sensitive issues must be taken care of in meetings that cannot be announced well in advance. The Security Council must also be able to react promptly to the most urgent threats to international peace and security. This year, we have witnessed a comeback of the wrap-up sessions of the monthly work of the Security Council. As stated by a distinguished representative of a member state in this Security Council, these sessions resemble a two-way mirror. Like Janus, they keep their focus in the recent past to draw lessons for the immediate future. We welcome Pakistan's reinsertion of this practice, hardly ever used before. Our congratulation also goes to South Korea, Rwanda, Togo, the UK, and Argentina for continuing with this practice. The Australian presidency, during the month of September, opted for an interactive closing meeting with representatives of non-member states of the Security Council. We believe also that this is a valid option when it comes to responding to an increasing need for transparency. Spain supports the practice of horizon scanning, taking advantage of the in-depth views of the Secretariat. We would like to suggest that such meetings be, as appropriate, opened to the rest of the members of the organization. President, the measures included in your concept note can count on our general support. Moreover, I would like to highlight the special importance of continuing to promote the evolution of the following. First, an increase in the number of public meetings. Secondly, enhancing of a transparent and inclusive process of negotiation in the Council. Three, increase the interaction between the Council and TCCs and PCCs, increasing also the interaction and dialogue of the Council with regional and sub-regional organizations. The final goal, as already stated, is to increase transparency in the work of the Security Council. The work of this body must follow procedures that contribute to reinforcing its authority as a sine qua non condition to gain the support of the whole membership and the international community. The Security Council working methods should aim at this higher goal. Otherwise, the political and moral authority of this Security Council would be undermined. I will conclude, Mr. President, with one last point on a sensitive issue related to the theme of today's debate. I'm referring to the use of the veto. Spain has spoken in favor of eliminating it. In particular, we encourage that the practice of explaining the reasons be introduced whenever a draft resolution is vetoed. Further, we advocate that with the veto, refrain from using it in cases of serious crimes such as genocide, ethnic cleansing, war crimes, and crimes against humanity. Consequently, we welcome the call by France to develop a code of conduct that could serve as a basis to carry out this objective. Spain is ready to contribute to such a debate. Thank you very much.
I thank the representative of Spain for his statement. I now give the floor to the representative of the Islamic Republic of Iran.
Thank you, Mr. President. In the name of God, the most compassionate, the most merciful. Mr. President, I have the pleasure to speak today on behalf of the Non-Aligned Movement. And at the outset, I would like to convey the movement's appreciation to Azerbaijan's presidency of the Security Council for having convened this important open debate to discuss the progress achieved in the implementation of the measures set out in the note by the President of the Security Council of 26 July 2010, S/2010/507. This open debate would help us to direct the discussions towards enhancing the transparency and efficiency of the work of the Security Council and to meet the expectations of the general membership of the United Nations. Mr. President, this debate is the sixth debate on the working methods of the Council. The increased frequency in recent years to have this debate is indicative of the fact that the member states attach great importance to this matter. The same interest has been shown by the Non-Aligned Movement. NAM has always emphasized the necessity for the Council to increase transparency and make a balanced approach in interaction with non-members. Some positive steps have been taken by the Security Council, pursuant to Note 507. The movement appreciates the work leading to the note by the President of the Security Council, contained in document S/2013/515, on enhancing efficiency and transparency as well as on the interaction and dialogue with non-members of the Security Council, and emphasize the importance of the efforts of Ambassador Maria Cristina Percival, the chair of the informal working group on documentation and other procedural questions, which are eloquently elaborated in her briefing today. The points listed in the note are very much close to the position that the NAM has been taking on the working methods of the Security Council. NAM urges all states to uphold the primacy of and full respect for the provisions of the UN Charter pertaining to the functions and powers of the Assembly, and calls on the Presidents of the General Assembly, the ECOSOC, and the Security Council to conduct regular discussions and coordination among themselves regarding the agenda and program of work of the respective principal organs in order to establish increased coherence and complementarily among these organs in a mutually reinforcing manner, respectful of each other's mandates and with a view to generating a mutual understanding among them. We believe that the Security Council should avoid resorting to Chapter 7 of the Charter as a tool for addressing issues that do not necessarily pose a threat to international peace and security. Rather, it should fully utilize such means to settle disputes and prevent conflict as negotiation, mediation, arbitration, and judicial decisions and other provisions of relevant chapters of the UN Charter, including chapters 6 and 7 before invoking chapters 6 and 8 before invoking chapter 7, which should be a measure of last resort. Non-Aligned Movement welcomes the use of wrap-up meetings and informal briefing sessions pursuant to the note by the President contained in document S/2012/922. However, NAM believes that the issues discussed in the wrap-up session should be limited to the items and issues discussed at the Security Council within the program of work of each month. It also welcomes the commitments reiterated by Council members to continue this practice and encourages all efforts to sustain and improve these sessions, which are of great relevance to the broader membership. Regarding the reporting practice by the Council, we welcome the informal meetings between the Presidency of the Council and UN Member States on the preparation of the annual report of the Security Council, which can help enhance the quality of such reports. It calls on the Security Council to submit a more explanatory, comprehensive, and analytical annual report to the General Assembly, assessing the work of the Council, including such cases in which the Council has failed to act and the views expressed by its members during the consideration of the agenda items under its consideration. Further, NAM calls on the Security Council to elaborate the circumstances under which it adopts different outcomes, whether resolutions, presidential statements, press statements, or elements to the press. It calls on the Security Council, pursuant to Article 15.1 and 24.3 of the UN Charter, to submit special reports for the consideration of the General Assembly. It further calls on the Security Council to ensure that its monthly assessments are comprehensive and analytical and issued in a timely fashion. The General Assembly may consider proposing parameters for the elaboration of such assessments. NAM welcomes the increase in the number of public meetings and expects that the quantitative increase of those meetings shall be associated with a qualitative improvement by providing more opportunities and meaningful exchanges of views to take into account the contributions of non-council members, particularly those whose interests are or may be directly affected by possible decisions of the Council. Furthermore, the concerned non-council members should be given the opportunity to express its views and position on such briefings. The general observations and positions formulated by numerous non-members of the Security Council during its debate or open debates should be properly taken into account in any possible outcome of those debates and should also be reflected in the Council's annual report. NAM appreciates the convening of area formula meetings as a practical way to ensure more interaction with non-council members and regional and sub-regional organizations. We welcome the commitments to maintain regular communication with the Peacebuilding Commission and more effective use of public meetings to invite the chair of the Peacebuilding Commission and the chairs of the country-specific configurations of the Commission to be invited, as appropriate, to participate in formal council meetings and informal interactive dialogues. NAM also welcomes measures taken to improve consultations with troop-contributing countries and police-contributing countries as part of the effort to plan and execute peacekeeping operations more effectively and with clearer mandates, and expects the finalization of a presidential note on the enhancement of consultation with troop and police-contributing countries. The Working Group on Peacekeeping Operations should continue to involve TCCs frequently and intensively in its deliberations through sustained, regular, and timely interaction, and appreciates the meetings of the working group held during this year. The movement believes that more steps are needed, along with the necessary political will of member states, particularly the permanent members of the Council, to improve the working methods of the Council through both the General Assembly and the Security Council. Transparency, accountability, and consistency are key elements that the Security Council should observe in all its activities, approaches, and procedures. Every effort should be made to render the Council more democratic, representative, and accountable. In this way, the Security Council can deal more efficiently and effectively with its mounting workload and with the multiplicity and complexity of the issues on its agenda in maintaining international peace and security. Non-aligned movement stands ready to contribute to the achievement of these goals. I thank you, Mr. President.
I thank the representative of the Islamic Republic of Iran for his statement. I now give the floor to the representative of Italy.
Mr. President, I wish to join previous speakers in thanking you for convening this open debate on the working methods of the Security Council. Today, more than ever, the international community needs and expects an efficient and effective Security Council that is able to take prompt action in accordance with its mandate for the maintenance of international peace and security. At a time of growing frustration and concern within the international community over the persistence of violent crises, improved working methods are crucial to enhancing the Security Council's ability to carry out its primary responsibility of maintaining international peace and security. Transparency, openness, efficiency, and interaction with the rest of the members are needed to foster a sense of ownership of the Council by the international community and to avoid the misperception that the Council is an autonomous body. We appreciate the improvements that have already been made to adapt the Council's working methods to changing realities. I'm referring, for instance, to the increasing number of open debates, the organization of informal briefing sessions by Security Council presidents on their monthly work, and the strengthened cooperation with regional organizations. As an EU member state, Italy praises the attention dedicated to cooperation between the EU and the United Nations. But more needs to be done to enhance transparency on access to and participation in the Council. Some ideas for further improvements have already been mentioned in the concept paper circulated before the meeting, for which I thank you, Mr. President, and others have been brought up today by colleagues. I wish to draw your attention to two commitments taken by the President of the Security Council, namely, maintaining regular communication with the PBC and the chairs of its own country specific configurations, improving consultations with TCCs and PCCs. We support the involvement of the PBC and the chairs of the country-specific configurations in the formal meetings of the Council. The PBC has the potential to play an increasingly supportive role in the post-conflict processes of stabilization and has a capacity of analysis of peace-building dynamics that is useful to the Security Council. It is equally important to strengthen the Council's consultation with the TCCs and PCCs, especially when mission mandates are being defined or renewed. A perspective from the field is fundamental, especially from those who are being called on to carry out the mandate. Italy, a major contributor of troops to UN peacekeeping, will lend its efforts, as always, to giving TCCs a greater role. We therefore welcome the commitments undertaken in the note by the President of the Security Council issued yesterday, and we thank the permanent representative of Argentina, Ambassador Maria Cristina Perceval, for her efforts as chair of the informal working group on documentation and other procedural questions. Mr. President, improving working methods is part of the Security Council reform process. It's one of the five pillars of the intergovernmental negotiations on reform. As the General Assembly agreed by consensus in its decision 62557, we have pledged to deal with these five pillars at the same time to achieve a comprehensive reform. We remain convinced that hurried and divisive piecemeal approaches must be avoided. There is no alternative to a comprehensive agreement. Partial solutions will not lead to a genuine reform of the Security Council. Only a comprehensive solution, including working methods, can lead to a reform shared by the world membership that will yield a Security Council better able to cope with the growing challenges of today. Thank you, Mr. President.
I thank the representative of Italy for his statement. I now give the floor to the representative of Singapore.
Mr. President, I thank Azerbaijan for convening this meeting and for its concept note on today's open debate. I also thank Argentina for its work as the chair of the informal working group on documentation and other procedural questions. Improvements in the working methods of the Security Council, especially in its transparency towards the General Assembly, are important to small states like Singapore. The reality is that small states are unlikely to obtain a permanent seat in whatever new configuration that might emerge from overall reform of the Council in the future. In the current situation, it is also increasingly challenging for small states to be elected as non-permanent Council members. Campaigns for contested and uncontested seats on the Council are becoming financially exorbitant and resource intensive. Out of the 70 UN member states that have never been elected as members of the Security Council, 50 are members of the Forum of Small States. Those small states that are elected to the Council also face constraints. Most small states can only be elected to the Council once every several decades, given resource constraints. By the time they have mastered Security Council processes, their term is over and the next generation has to start from scratch when they are elected. Nevertheless, many small states continue to experience firsthand the consequences of the failure to maintain international peace and security. The work of the Council remains of profound importance to us. Accordingly, reforms that increase the transparency of the work and deliberations of the Council are critical to small states. Mr. President, we welcome the Council's efforts to improve its practices as outlined in the series of presidential notes adopted since 2010. These include convening more open debates, more ARIA formula meetings, consultations with troop contributing countries, and monthly briefings on the Security Council's program of work. These initiatives have helped to improve the transparency of the Council with regard to the General Assembly. However, the implementation of the recommendations and proposals contained in the five presidential notes has been limited, slow, and varies from presidency to presidency of the Council. For example, notwithstanding their substantive briefings, which we support, we also believe that non-members should have more opportunities to provide inputs to the work of the Council's subsidiary bodies. Furthermore, some of these initiatives have been implemented with an eye to the letter rather than the spirit of the proposals. Many of the briefings and reports are largely descriptive of the Council's work. While we thank the various presidencies for convening wrap-up sessions, we also note that these sessions have not been consistently held, and they tend to comprise of set statements by Security Council members with general descriptions of meetings held and resolutions adopted. In our view, the Council could do more to increase interactivity, deepen the level of analysis, and foster greater critical reflection in its engagement with the General Assembly. A good place to start would be the forthcoming annual report of the Council. Instead of simply being a descriptive and voluminous compilation of data and information on the work of the Council, we hope that this year's report will be more concise and analytical. For example, it could include an evaluation of the effectiveness of the Council's decisions as well as lessons learned. Mr. President, last month we welcomed the unanimous adoption of Security Council Resolution 2118 on the elimination of chemical weapons in Syria. But let us not forget the deep unhappiness in the UN membership and the wider world at the impotency of the Council prior to that in the face of the violence and atrocities in the crisis in Syria. The use of the veto is the crux of the problem. Singapore therefore reiterates its request for the permanent members of the Council to consider refraining from using their vetoes to block Council action aimed at preventing or ending genocide, war crimes, and crimes against humanity. In this regard, we would be interested to learn of the reactions of the other permanent members to the proposals by the French President on a code of conduct on the use of the veto. Furthermore, we urge the permanent members to explain to the General Assembly their reasons for using the veto or intention to do so, in particular with regard to its consistency with the purposes and principles of the UN Charter and international law. This is particularly pertinent at times when the veto is used to block action intended to maintain international peace and security. Mr. President, the Security Council has been given the primary responsibility by the members of the UN to maintain international peace and security, and special privileges have been given to the permanent members to carry out this mandate. However, the Council does not discharge its responsibility in isolation and needs the support of UN member states, notably for funding and the provision of troops for the Council's mandated operations. Given this relationship between the Council and the wider UN membership, it is incumbent upon the Council to increase the transparency of its engagement with the General Assembly. Thank you, Mr. President.
I thank the representative of Singapore for her statement. I now give the floor to the representative of South Africa.
Mr. President, my delegation extends its gratitude to you for convening this important debate on Security Council working methods and for developing the concept note for this debate. We thank you for your constructive approach in maintaining a practice which we hope becomes a permanent feature of this important organ of the United Nations that is yet to reform. We also thank Argentina as the chair of the informal working group on documentation and other procedural matters for continuing to assess the implementation of Presidential Note S/2010/507. South Africa further aligns itself with the statement delivered by the distinguished representative of the Islamic Republic of Iran on behalf of the non-aligned movement and wishes to add the following remarks in our national capacity. Like other delegations, we acknowledge the progress made by the Security Council over the past few years in improving the working methods and attempting to make the Council more transparent and inclusive in its working methods. In both our recently completed terms as an elected member of the Security Council, we consistently endeavor to encourage the Council to engage more regularly with the broader UN membership and regional organizations when addressing its various agenda items. We are proud of our modest achievements in this regard, which includes regularizing annual engagements between the UN Security Council and the African Union Peace and Security Council, and involving broader UN membership and non-state entities, having served as the chair of the Ad Hoc Working Group on Conflict Prevention and Resolution in the discussion of the working group. Mr. President, but more needs to be done, and we believe that the various proposals and recommendations made today and at subsequent debates of this nature are intended as contributions of a constructive nature to enhance effectiveness, transparency, inclusiveness, and credibility of the Security Council. The adoption by the Council in August of Note S/2013/515 is a step in maintaining this momentum, with the commitment made by Council members to the 10 steps towards greater transparency outlined in that document. In addition to those commitments, all of which South Africa strongly supports, we wish to add additional recommendations that can further contribute to the more effective functioning of the Council in the execution of its mandates. Some of these are to maintain the practice of field visits and even mini-missions by the Council as well as its subsidiary bodies to enhance the Council's understanding of the situation on the ground and to contribute towards informed decision-making. A wider spread amongst the elected members of country-specific files that otherwise are managed as an exclusive domain or prerogative of some permanent members. This exclusive approach contributes to an inflexible approach to dealing with Council resolutions, which are, in fact, a mandate for all of those who serve on the Council. Engagement with regional organizations should be based on the principle of subsidiarity and in a cohesive and organized manner. We also recommend that such engagements be acknowledged and included in the Secretary General's reports. And we also suggest a longer lead time on all SG reports that are provided to Council members prior to informal consultations, especially at the time of mandate renewals. Mr. President, predictability in the working methods of the Security Council is integral to ensuring that there is consistency in how different matters are handled. It has been the unfortunate reality in some cases that the Council was perceived as being selective in addressing certain issues which we ascribe to inconsistency that is born out of the provisional nature of the Council's rules of procedure. Inextricably linked to this is the notion of some members of the Council approaching matters on the agenda of the Council on the basis of narrow national interests, writ large against the Council's primary mandate of the maintenance of international peace and security. This is reflected in the inability of the Security Council to resolve certain conflicts, Syria being a particular case in most recent case in point. This unfortunate reality has further resulted in many Security Council decisions being either ignored or flagrantly undermined. The situations of Palestine and Western Sahara are but two clear examples of how detrimental narrow national interests can be in frustrating the lofty objective of maintaining international peace and security. In the case of Western Sahara, we have witnessed how through selective small groups, some of whom are not even council members, have a greater influence over the text of resolutions than the council members themselves. The subsequent weakening of the text on this annual resolution has resulted in the Security Council not being able to implement its own decisions. We have also witnessed a similar unfortunate approach in dealing with the situation in the Middle East, Palestine in particular. The Council has repeatedly failed to speak in unison on this matter, thereby not being able to issue even a media statement when the two parties to the conflict resumed direct talks earlier this year. The State of Palestine has since September 2000 written approximately 473 letters to the President of the Security Council, the President of the General Assembly, and the Secretary General regarding the ongoing crisis in the occupied Palestinian territories, including East Jerusalem. The more recent of these letters was submitted in 17 October of this year. In the absence of any significant decision by this Council, be it in the form of a resolution, presidential statement, or press statement over the last 2 years, it is our consequent assessment that the Security Council has unfortunately not found it appropriate to seriously reflect on the content of these hundreds of written testimonies by one party to the conflict, namely the State of Palestine, that brings to the fore numerous violations of international law and obligations of state parties to resolutions passed by this august body that blatantly go unheeded. Such approaches, Mr. President, unfortunately brings into question the credibility of the Council in dispensing with its clear mandate. The debate on working methods is but an important part of the greater whole of the debate on Council reform. We therefore remain convinced that greater legitimacy and effectiveness, including in its working methods, will prevail when the Council becomes more representative. I thank you, Mr. President.
Of South Africa for his statement. I now give the floor to the representative of Japan.
Thank you, Mr. President. I would like to start by expressing my gratitude to you, Mr. President, for your initiative of holding this debate on working methods of the Security Council. Mr. President, we believe that Japan has been a leading contributor to improvements of Security Council working methods. When Japan was in the Council, we, as president of the Informal Working Group on Documentation and Other Procedural Questions, issued the Presidential Note 507 in 2006, as well as its revision in 2010. We also issued a Working Methods Handbook, including the Presidential Note and Provisional Rules of the Security Council. Based on our proposals, the Security Council's interaction with troop and police contributing countries has increased. We are proud of our country's contribution to enhancing the transparency of the Council's working methods through such work. We are pleased that discussions on the improvement of working methods have continued to be sought under the leadership of the subsequent president of informal working group, such as Bosnia-Herzegovina, Portugal, and Argentina. We can see progress in the efficiency of working methods, such as reviewing mandate cycles of the relevant Security Council resolutions. In this context, I would like to extend my appreciation to Ambassador Maria Cristina Percival, Permanent Representative Argentina and Chairperson of the Working Group on Documentation and Other Procedural Questions, for her contribution, including her work on the presidential note issued this August. However, are these achievements enough? Are the Security Council working methods transparent enough? I'm afraid that the answer is not quite. For instance, many consultations in the Council are still being held in a closed and exclusive format. We even hear the complaints from elected members of the Council that they were not involved in the discussion on the situation in Syria, which were conducted among permanent members only. In this regard, I highly appreciate your initiative, Mr. President, for taking up ensuring a transparent and inclusive process of negotiation within the Council as topic of today's debate. While we remain strongly committed to the improvement of working methods, there are unfortunately limits to what we can do from outside the Security Council to ensure a transparent process of internal negotiations in the Council. In this regard, I sincerely hope the members of the Security Council, especially those with permanent seats, do more for enhancing its transparency. Mr. President, Article 25 of the UN Charter stipulates that we, the member states, agree to accept decision by the Security Council. Yet, this article alone does not necessarily guarantee the legitimacy of decisions by the Security Council. And to enhance its legitimacy of the Security Council, improving the Council's working method is necessary, but not sufficient. It is indispensable for us, the members of the UN, to accelerate the negotiations towards Security Council reform and make concrete outcomes in this matter. The Security Council, as is currently composed, does not reflect the geopolitical realities of this century and does not function as designed. The situation in Syria clearly demonstrates this dysfunction of the Security Council. Mr. President, let us recall our leaders' commitment at the World Summit in 2005 in its outcome document to realize early reform of the Security Council. In this regard, I appreciate the recent initiative by His Excellency Dr. John Ash, the current President of the General Assembly, to promote proactively the reform process, as he clearly stated in his letter of 22nd October. By 2015, when the United Nations marks its 70th anniversary, concrete outcomes in Security Council reform will need to be made. I invite all member states to spare no effort toward this goal. I thank you, Mr. President.
I thank the representative of Japan for his statement. I now give the floor to the representative of Germany.
Thank you, Mr. President. As the issue on the agenda of the Security Council become increasingly complex, so do its day-to-day work and decision-making processes. Other UN organs and institutions, regional organizations, non-governmental organizations, they all make important contributions to the work of the Council and the fulfillment of its charter-mandated role. The media and wider public are also important, particularly in times of the Internet and Twitter. All this should be seen as an opportunity, not as a burden to the Council. This requires enhanced transparency and efficiency of the Council, as well as interaction with a wider UN membership and relevant stakeholders. The Council has come a long way, most recently with the adoption of Presidential Note 515. The note contains many useful aspects, including on the increased use of the Arria formula, closer involvement of the Peacebuilding Commission, and the use of wrap-up sessions by the Presidency. We encourage the members of the Council, especially the permanent members, to ensure that the commitment made in Note 515 also translate into action. Other issues remain to be addressed. As this is an ongoing process, improvements must be sought on multiple fronts. In this context, we encourage the member states of the Accountability, Coherence, and Transparency Group to continue their important efforts in this regard. Mr. President, we also very much appreciate the proposal made by the French Foreign Minister Fabius to refrain from using the veto in situations of atrocity crimes. During Germany's recent Council membership, I myself witnessed the deadlock in the Council caused by three double vetoes, and more importantly, the terrible consequences they had for the Syrian people. The French proposal is therefore an important initiative by a permanent member of the Council and should contribute to fostering the overall discussion of the reform of the Security Council. Mr. President, as important as the improvement of the Council's working methods may be, only a comprehensive structural reform will enable the Council to more effectively tackle the challenges of today's world. Such a reform is long overdue. As the United Nations nears its 70th General Assembly in 2015, the time has come for action. We thus welcome the initiative taken by the President of the General Assembly, Ambassador John Ash, to task an advisory group with the drafting of a negotiating text and adequately reflect current positions on council reform and provides options on the way forward. We hope that such a text will finally enable member states to engage in real give-and-take negotiations. Germany stands ready to engage constructively in these negotiations. I thank you, Mr. President.
I thank the representative of Germany for his statement. I now give the floor to the representative of Ireland.
Mr. President, Ireland aligns itself with the comprehensive statement delivered by my Swiss colleague on behalf of the 22-member ACT Group, a cross-regional grouping of member states established earlier this year to press for a more accountable, coherent, and transparent Security Council. Ireland is pleased to be a founding member of ACT. We care deeply about the UN and how each of its institutions works. And we believe that there is abundant evidence for the proposition that the Security Council's working methods are in urgent need of improvement. Among the points to which Ireland attaches particular importance in the statement delivered on behalf of ACT are, firstly, the welcome we give to a proposal by France that the five permanent members of the Security Council could voluntarily regulate their right to exercise their veto in the case of mass atrocity crimes. And secondly, the appreciation we express for the greater level of interactivity with the Council recently, which has been achieved through, for instance, horizon scanning sessions. It is clearly desirable that briefings take place regularly on situations where populations are at risk of mass atrocities. The ACT Group was established in May to develop proposals for concrete action to improve the Council's working methods and to build momentum around this agenda. All UN member states have a legitimate stake in how the Security Council is run. The Council was established, after all, to ensure prompt and effective action on behalf of the full membership. We hope that we can persuade the UN membership as a whole of the need for urgent action to reform how the Council operates and how it communicates and interacts with the wider membership. We want to work constructively and cooperatively with the members of the Security Council in encouraging a more businesslike and responsive approach. We could accurately be termed, and have been termed, a group of friends of the Security Council, supportive but also frank and direct, the hallmarks of true friendship. And just to be clear, we are taking no position on issues relating to the reform, composition or enlargement of the Council. Improvements in relation to the Council's working methods are already underway, and we readily recognise these. We welcome Presidential Note 515 of 28th of August on transparency and improvement of the Council's dialogue with non-Council members and bodies. As a co-lead with Uruguay on the peacekeeping dimension of the Council's work, Ireland warmly welcomes the commitments contained in Presidential Note 630 on enhancement of consultations with TCCs and PCCs. The challenge now is for Council members to ensure the full and consistent implementation of this Presidential Note and other preceding resolutions, statements and notes on peacekeeping working methods. Ireland was pleased to respond positively this year when we were asked to supply military personnel to reinforce and stabilise the politically sensitive UNDOF mission. As a significant peacekeeping troop contributor, we are strongly of the view that a more dynamic, interactive and meaningful partnership between Council members, the Secretariat and TCCs, PCCs will be of benefit to all parties. On peacekeeping and across a broad range of topics, the ACT Group will continue to work for constructive and cooperative engagement with Council members on practical steps which would improve the way in which the Council does its business. We commend Azerbaijan, finally, for organising today's debate as an important staging post in this process. Thank you.
I thank the representative of Ireland for his statement. I now give the floor to the representative of Maldives.
Mr. President, thank you for giving me the floor. On behalf of the Republic of Maldives, let me thank the Azerbaijan presidency for convening this open debate on the working methods of this council. Let me further thank Ambassador Maria Cristina Percival of Argentina for her briefing in her capacity as chair of the informal working group on documentation and other procedural questions. The Maldives thanks the presidency for its note of 28th of August and welcomes continued efforts at ensuring transparency and coherence within the council's working methods. Mr. President, the Maldives has the honor of associating itself with the statement made by Switzerland in its capacity as coordinator of ACT, Accountability, Coherence and Transparency, a cross-regional group of 22 member states. According to Article 24 of the UN Charter, the Council acts on behalf of all member states. This universal representation needs to be reflected in fully transparent decisions and a process that leaves no room for secrecy. It is only right that all member states have a clear understanding of the present work of the Council, deviating from past practice. Business as usual will leave us with the usual unsatisfying results. Mr. President, there is a necessity for all member states to be better informed with regards to the Council's deliberations. As is with the case of the General Assembly, the Maldives believes that draft documents of the Security Council should be made available to all member states in a more timely and appropriate manner. Further, in line with the UN Charter, we would welcome more frequent interactive dialogues and presentations of special reports. Mr. President, while we welcome informational briefings at the beginning of each presidency, the Maldives calls on Council members to critically and proactively reflect on the month's work in the form of wrap-up sessions. Through honest reflection, we hope to see a more equal distribution of work between the permanent and non-permanent members of the Council. This prevailing disparity remains a fundamental flaw of the Council, which is constantly being illustrated. We have seen it when negotiations are limited to only permanent members, and we have seen it when briefings have been limited similarly as well. The decision of the Secretary General to brief only the permanent members with regards to the situation in Syria recently saw this failing extend to the Secretariat and is deeply disappointing. Mr. President, only reform of the Council structure will truly make this body more representative, transparent, efficient, and legitimate. In the meantime, we welcome the proposal made by France suggesting that the permanent members themselves could voluntarily forego their right to exercise veto in reaction to mass atrocity crimes. We believe that this pledge would contribute to a more effective crisis response and stronger implementation of the Council's own agenda, promoting the establishment and maintenance of international peace and security. We therefore call for an open and engaging dialogue between ACT and all permanent members of the Council and would encourage other permanent members to further explore the proposal made by France. Views of member states have to be taken into account in the decision-making process of the Security Council. The use of the veto right or the intention to do so should have to be explained, in particular with regard to its consistency with the purposes and principles of the United Nations Charter and applicable international law. This would lead to a much higher transparency of the decision-making process and would make morally ambiguous and legally inadmissible arguments less likely. Mr. President, the Maldives sincerely hopes that both permanent and non-permanent members commit not only in word but also in action to practices that conform to higher standards of accountability, coherence and transparency. I thank you, Mr. President.
I thank the representative of Maldives for his statement. I shall now make a statement in my capacity as the representative of Azerbaijan. We commend permanent representative of Argentina, Ambassador Maria Cristina Perceval, for her dedicated efforts as chair of the informal working group on documentation and other procedural questions. We also commend former chairs of the working group for their valuable contribution. We acknowledge the role that the working group is playing to advance ways to further enhance the transparency, accountability, and overall efficiency of the Council's work. The Security Council working methods continue to raise great interest among the broader membership. Today's open debate is yet another illustration of priority attention given by member states to that topic. Almost 1 year has passed since the Council's last open debate, which raised a number of important issues requiring more efforts and resolute steps for their solution. Meanwhile, the Council has continued to further implement Presidential Note 507 and agreed on several measures to enhance its efficiency and transparency, in addition to its existing interaction and dialogue with non-Council members and other bodies, as eventually reproduced in the two presidential notes adopted earlier this year. More attention has been paid to achieving a wider participation of Council members in the decision-making process by providing the opportunities to hear the views of the broader membership on the working methods of the Council. The Council has also discussed ways and means to enhance its interactivity with non-Council member states and promote its responsiveness to their inputs and contributions, as well as to improve Security Council communication with the Peacebuilding Commission, TCCs, PCCs, and relevant regional and sub-regional organizations. Despite the slight decrease in the number of public meetings of the Council in comparison with the same period of the last year, the trend of holding more public meetings, including in the form of briefings and debates, is encouraging. At the same time, the quality of such public meetings mostly depends on the Council's readiness to take into consideration the views and contributions of non-Council member states, including through the reflection of their proposals and inputs in the outcomes of public meetings. The holding of annual open debates on the topic under consideration is a good opportunity to further encourage the Council's efforts towards improving its working methods, review the implementation of Note 507 and subsequent documents adopted by the Council, identify positive trends and practices by proposing new ideas on enhancing transparency and efficiency of the Council. A significant number of proposals were submitted and discussed in previous years in the course of both open debates and deliberations within the informal working group on documentation and other procedural questions. Those discussions are illustrative as to the remaining obstacles and the need for more efforts towards addressing existing differences. We hope that the Council will initiate a process of genuine reforms of the Security Council to meet the expectations of the international community. It should be noted that the reluctance and sometimes even unwillingness to change stereotypes by preserving existing practices complicate the process of reaching agreement on matters of importance to the United Nations membership. Another important issue that requires additional efforts is the need for the Council's review of the implementation of its own decisions. It is unacceptable when resolutions of the Security Council containing imperative demands for concrete action are deliberately ignored or interpreted in a way to avoid their implementation. Needless to say, the silence of the Security Council concerning the apparent disregard of its resolutions on issues pertaining to international and regional peace and security, and attempts to question their validity are dangerous and cannot constitute an accepted practice of the Council's working methods. In concluding, I would like to thank all Member States for their active participation in today's debate and for their valuable ideas and recommendations that constitute as an essential food for thought and undoubtedly deserve careful consideration with a view to enhancing the transparency, effectiveness, and interactivity of the Security Council. I resume my function as President of the Council. There are no more names inscribed on the list of speakers, and the Security Council has thus concluded the present stage of its consideration of the item on its agenda. The meeting is adjourned.